back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. And I mean to say, y'all, this show, like, we send our signal way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even old Mississippi, just for good measure. All right, this is that time of the week. You know the deal. It's Thursday. It's Thursday. We call it Friday Eve, but Thursday is also a day in which we have a recurring segment that becomes my favorite part of every single week. We call it Boomer and McQueen. All right, the whoop-whoops have sounded. McQueen's in the studio. How you doing? Is your mic on? Hey, how you doing?
That's what I thought. I am fantastic. I just went to a little Christian bookstore with my son, got some cool bracelets. I'm happy. And it's hot outside, right, Boomer? We're happy.
I'm so happy about the heat.
Boomer, if little dollar bracelets from the Christian bookstore are all it takes to make her happy, we're good.
Listen, I love a diet Mountain Dew and little bracelets, or maybe even picking a dandelion makes her happy. So I'm a lucky man.
You are indeed a lucky man. You are indeed a lucky man.
Yeah, you have it easy.
You're so spoiled.
So spoiled.
All right, hey, you know the deal, guys. So I ask y'all questions, get your thoughts on current events, because for those of y'all out there in the listening audience, if you're not familiar with this segment, these two people right here are responsible for a lot of things that make this show work, but they've also got opinions. McQueen has a lot of opinions. And so I throw out a question out, and we just see what they think. And it usually winds up being pretty lively. So here's the first one. You know, we're seeing it. And look at that there on the campus. Right, we're showing it right now on the screen in the studio. There are campus protests going on at college campuses all over the United States. And what's amazing to me is that so many of these protests are blatantly calling for, you know, genocide against Israel, or, you know, kill the Jews, or intifada, or whatever. I don't think these kids, half of them, even know what they're saying. But then again, do they? So here's my thing. So Jewish students at Cooper Union College, all right, I never heard of it before, but Cooper Union up in New York, just this morning had to be locked in the library because there were protesters, pro-Palestinian protesters, and activists banging on the door demanding to be let in because they heard the Jewish kids were in there studying. And these Jewish kids were told they could hide in the attic if they wanted to. Well, my first thought was, that's where Anne Frank was when she was captured.
Oh,
she was hiding in the attic. I thought, what a horrible thing. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, you can tell how I feel about it, but First Amendment, what's the school? I mean, where are we on this, and what's the solution? Who's first? Oh, we're both looking at McQueen.
Yeah.
We're looking at me? Yeah. Oh, I was looking at you. What do we do? It's kind of like I have that whole thought of just like, how do we get here, you know? Yeah. Like, it's just so sad. I actually didn't know about all the protests going on. It just breaks my heart. And I feel like so many of these, like, this is the Holocaust. It is. I mean, that's exactly what happened, like what you just said. And I feel like so many of the students that age range and even older don't even know about the Holocaust, because, you know, we tried to like erase history for all these years. I mean, especially in the past, I don't know, several years, because we thought things were offensive. So we've like erased history, and half of them probably don't even know about it. And then to those of us that are like, I mean, oh my gosh, I just can't even believe that like that's where we're at right now, and that's what we're dealing with. And that people are saying, go hide here, and like but no one's protecting them, or no one's doing something about it. It kind of goes to that, like, well, who's standing up? Like, who's standing up for what's right? And I feel like that's just not happening. And I really don't even know what the answer is exactly. I'm just like, how did we get here? I think it's so easy to go, oh, that's what's going on over there. That's what's going on over in, you know, the Middle East, or that's what's going on over there in Israel. And not that we're doing that, but a lot of people tend to just turn a blind eye because it's not affecting them right here in their country, in their state. But it's like, yeah, it is. It is. It's here. It's down the street. It's in your neighborhood. It's everywhere. It's heartbreaking.
Boomer, what are you thinking?
I agree of the fact of how did we get to this place. I also agree with the First Amendment, where you have your freedom of speech.
There's that.
But I don't agree with when that freedom of speech becomes a little hostile to someone else, or basically when that freedom of speech goes towards someone else, and then they start feeling the sense of I'm in danger.
When they're threatening their safety.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a big difference in freedom of speech and saying what you believe in or what, you know, what you're passionate about. And then there's being hostile about it.
When I was at the Alabama Policy Institute, I gave an award to who is now Justice Matt Friday on the appellate court in Alabama for sponsoring what was known as the Campus Freedom of Speech Award that protects people. And it was mostly because we were seeing conservatives getting vilified and doxxed and, you know, and having protests stop their speeches and that kind of thing. But this is just the opposite. So I guess on the one hand, you're right. I have to say, all right, I want conservatives to have freedom of speech. I would imagine then that goes for both ways for liberals to have, but these aren't liberals. These are people calling for the death of other people.
That's what's wrong.
Yeah,
and I don't believe in that. I mean, calling for the death of really anyone, I mean, that's hard. I mean,
and coming in the doors of the library, banging on the doors, demanding to be let in because there's Jewish
there. Yeah, that's absolutely wrong, and something has to happen with that. I mean, the protests are one thing, okay. But when you're going after the people, when you know someone's over there that you're trying to get to, that's endangering somebody's lives.
And your intent is to terrorize them.
Yep.
And maybe even harm them.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think there's a fine line. There was a story. Gosh, where was this? I got to look back it up. And it's several years ago. Liberal student activists took over the dean of students' office and were having a sit-in in the dean's outer lobby.
I feel like
right?
I remember this.
And the campus administration decided, you know what? No, that's not going to work. And so they came in, the dean of the school came in and said, well, here's the thing. You guys certainly have a First Amendment right, but you don't have a right to take over an office and shut it down from use. So either you all go back to class right now or you'll be disenrolled from the university. They were gone in 30 minutes.
Yeah,
and, you know, so there's a way for universities to say, we get your point. You're allowed to say it. We don't believe in it. And that's what's happening right now is universities are not saying that is not our position.
Right.
They're bowing to it.
They're bowing to it.
Because they don't want to ruffle feathers, I feel like.
Yeah, they're afraid of what will happen.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And we're anyway. All right. You know, we could talk about that all day. Let me grab another one here. Okay. All right. So here's the next situation. The situation we got in Maine is pretty horrible. So in Maine, it's been modified somewhat. Apparently, it's 18 dead, scores wounded, a big mass shooting, multiple locations. We think right now it's one shooter in multiple locations. The suspect, though, was apparently under psychiatric care. He had just spent 10 days in inpatient care because he said he was hearing voices and was having some type of a manic schizophrenic type episodes. And he's also a veteran. He's also a firearms instructor. All right, so we're looking
Did not
at
know that part.
We're looking at veteran, we're looking at firearms instructor, we're looking at Second Amendment, we're looking at psychiatric care. What do we do now? Now what? Where does this thing go?
Well, for me, actually, I thought your question was going to take a little bit different turn. I was like, oh man, I'm ready for this. And then you asked, I'm like, let me think. But I'm going to go with my thought of a question first, and then I'll jump in on yours.
Oh, okay. You don't like the question, ask your own question. Okay.
With everything that happened, I think you barely touched on it a second ago just during the break, probably without even thinking about it. With what happened, in my eyes, because he went to a lot of public places, right?
Yeah.
Where were the people that were supposed to be armed? Like, if I was there, like, I mean, that's why people, you know, why are you trying to take away our Second Amendment when if there were people there that were carrying?
Yeah. Somebody have responded?
Somebody would have responded.
I don't know the answer to that. I don't even know. I think I should have looked this up, but I didn't. Is Maine a gun control state? I don't know.
I don't know. But also, I mean, I understand the if you don't train for it, you freeze. I understand that completely.
Sure.
But if there was more than one person, surely somebody would have responded.
Well, he also looked like he knew what he was doing, just from what we could see. I saw the picture of him in my first. I'm not sure if I said it to Charlene or just thought it, but I looked at him and the way he was holding that AR and he had, you know, his firing, his trigger finger, the elbow was tucked in. He had a tight body position. I thought, oh, dang, he knows what he's doing. Mm.
But on the question that you had, what do we do next? What's going to happen is obviously the liberals are going to go right to gun control.
Certainly.
Yep. They're going to try to do something with that.
They are predictable.
That, absolutely.
if nothing else, they are predictable.
But, like, I think who said it best? I think you brought it up in one of the segments earlier is, let's take time to grieve first and help Maine and those people.
Yeah.
Find the guy.
Find the guy.
Then let's figure this out.
Because he's at large still.
But,
right.
He's at large, yeah.
I mean, the thing that gets me is, wow, psychiatric stuff going on in your head. I mean, that's.
I think, too, what I'm seeing is that he was actually under the laws that his jurisdiction is under, mm-hmm. maybe even under just the background checks for, I don't know when he bought the weapon, but he was a firearms instructor, so he probably already had some.
Right.
But, that he was already someone who should have been reported,
mm-hmm.
because I'm not a fan of red flag laws, not at all. But what I'm saying is he may have been in a position to not be able to buy firearms, and yet he had them.
Yeah.
Because there's some aspect. I saw something earlier, and it may have been guesswork, that being a veteran himself, they wonder if he went to a VA clinic or a VA center. And that they didn't even bother filling it in on the national, you know, records database that gets searched when you buy a firearm. I don't know. I don't know what's what. But we're going to find out.
I'm
but
sure.
What I don't want to see is all the draconian red flag laws that kick in. I'm sorry, we didn't even get to you. Hi, McQueen.
I'm just all this. I have hardly words. I'm just torn up about all this. And I saw it last night. I just thought of. You know, all the different, shootings that have happened. And, you know, I mean, yeah, I feel like the one of the main, the common denominators has been the mental health aspect with so many of them, at least. And so I didn't know, actually, he was a firearms instructor and I didn't know that aspect of it. But, wow, that kind of puts a little, curveball on it. But still, when you have that mental health as, like, the main or that common denominator, why was he only there for 10 days? Because that's what I was talking about with someone this morning. We were saying that, he was telling people in the institution or wherever he was that he was having thoughts about killing people and having thoughts of killing children. And why was he only there for 10 days? Like, don't joke about that. So
I'll tell you why. His insurance, I guarantee you.
Cut him off, probably.
Mm-hmm. I had somebody texted earlier today, and they said that exact same thing. They said that they would bet mm-hmm. that the reason why he was there for 10 days, because that's
insurance
all the insurance
said that's
would
it.
Pay
that's
for.
That's all we're paying for.
Yep.
Well, there we go. That's where we have some other problems. So that's one of the next things we do to go. Where do we go from here is how do we address that sort of thing where people can't get the help that they need because of insurance. But that's for another day.
that's for another
day. I was telling – and this is another thing I brought up this morning, and I know then we're – I just have a little bit more time. This was a lot of years ago, but like the Colorado shootings that were
Columbine.
Yeah, no, not the Columbine. The ones that were at the movie theater where it was the Dark Knight playing.
Yeah.
So one of our best friends was there in that theater.
Oh.
And my sister's best friend, but dear family friend, but she was in that theater with her boyfriend, went to see the Dark Knight.
Oh wow.
And he laid in front of her and was was shot and saved her life and he died, and that. I mean, I don't forget that a single day goes by that I don't think about that. Mm. And I have a hard time going to movie theaters because of that. And this, I just can't believe this is where we're at. And like, I mean, you shouldn't live in fear, obviously, but right. I don't want to go bowling because of this. And it's just, that's just kind of where we're at. And it's so sad.
Well, it is, but we have to live.
Yeah. You can't live in fear.
You can't live in fear, right?
You're right.
Can't
exactly
say I'm
going right.
to lock myself in my
but
house because
that's what
happens.
It almost feels like the left side is trying to make us do mm-hmm. is start living in fear.
Yeah.
And fear is control.
Guns are everywhere. Aren't you
yeah,
scared?
That's
no,
right.
No, we're actually not. Guns have been everywhere.
Right.
No, we're not scared.
Exactly.
That's where we have to be. And it's a high capacity magazine. Well, you know how fast I could quickly change out a 10 round magazine?
Exactly.
High capacity means nothing to me.
And the bad guys can train just as good as the good guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have the opportunity to train. Like, they're going to try to do those things and be like, oh, well, we're going to make sure we know everything that you do with your guns or how many you have. The bad guys don't give a...
And if you change the law so that... I'm sorry, I cut you off.
I'm glad I got cut off. So.
And if you change
the
laws...
We were going down a
if you change the laws so that the good guys don't have guns, then guess who's going to break the laws and still have guns? The bad guys.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, take us to a break, brother. We'll do that right now. Just going through the issues right here with Boomer and McQueen. All right, we flip the script when we get back. One of them's got a question for me. I'll find out what it is when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just like making common sense a superpower up in here. All right, so we are back right now with Boomer and McQueen. All right, we flipped the script. I've asked them questions. They rattled off their answers. We opined together on some things. Who's got a question for me now?
I'll do it today.
What you got?
So maybe we can get to yours too. Mine maybe not be it may not be worthy. We'll see. But my question is, it's obviously all the media is turning their attention to Israel and everything going on.
Sure.
Now the shooting.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely appropriate.
Yeah.
What's going on with Trump's legals, and where do you see that happen? Where do you see that going? Like, that's a big question mark right now.
Yes, I like the scoop.
Because of the people coming forward and pleading, right?
Yeah.
So, like, what is it? Where does that put Trump?
I have no answer. What's your question?
No, this one. I like this one. I need the Trump scoop. I always like to know your perspective on what's going on.
Trump. Okay, so first of all, where's Trump right now? Well, he's been extremely busy. He's got multiple legal teams on retainer right now.
Yeah.
He's just pouring money down legal rabbit holes, and it's to me the most obnoxious thing I've ever seen. I mean, the very idea that anybody should be treated like this, much less the guy who was the former president of the United States. And you know, I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to build the whole where there's smoke, there's fire. So they got multiple. And don't tell me they didn't talk to each other ahead of time. That being said, he has just gone through a couple of things in I believe it's the one of the New York cases with Letitia James trying to crush his business life. And claim that he improperly assessed his value below what it should have been. Anyway, the judge put a gag order on him yesterday. Believe it or not, the ACLU just came in today and said they agree with Trump that you can't put a gag order on a man for talking about his litigation. So, I mean, you can have gag orders in cases, but not to say you just can't talk about it. Mm-hmm. And then the other is what's happening in Georgia has gotten very interesting. So the case with the activist, they're all activists. The case with the activist DA out of Atlanta, what's her name, Fonnie Willis? Anyway, Fonnie Willis has just two of his former attorneys who were with him during the 2020 challenges have pled guilty, which shocks a lot of people. But it's in part because they were seeing their own lives ruined and were probably going to lose their ability to practice law ever again in their whole lives. But I don't know that what they're pleading to is really going to hurt Trump. They're claiming that they misled the people on some things or what. I don't know. We'll see. They both got off the probation with misdemeanors. But the ultimate goal here is they're trying to pressure what I would call the subordinate level parties to the cases to plead so they can use them then to get Trump. That's all they want. So Trump's been campaigning, but his real life right now has been legal. That's where he's at.
Gosh.
Lots of doings. All right, Boomer McQueen.
We didn't even get to my stupid story.
Oh, my gosh, once again. We love you nonetheless. All right, appreciate you guys both. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll do some dippers, some text messages, and cover it all. We'll be right back.